Well, good morning. Won't you give the Lord a hand for all those great testimonies? I'm Pastor Brooks. I will be bringing an abbreviated, for me, message before we do the baptisms. But I want to tie in from Scripture a testimony and a baptism in the New Testament with the testimonies that you've heard and the baptisms you will see shortly. This is probably, without question, my favorite kind of church gathering to come to. I absolutely love to hear stories of transformation. I love to hear how a sinner who was lost was found by God as Christ sought them. And their experiences and their circumstances are always different. And they come from different starting points. And they have different events along the way. And then eventually, though, they meet the same Jesus. And Jesus seeks these individuals and he presents himself to them and they come to an understanding of who he is and what he's done and they make the decision to follow him by grace through faith and then they're baptized and they become part of the body of Christ and it's a beautiful thing. If you have your Bibles, you can turn into Acts chapter 8. I want to just read the story of the Ethiopian and his journey and how he came to Christ and how God used a man named Philip to introduce him. Acts chapter 8 verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go the south road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of all her treasure. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, and he was seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of the Ethiopian eunuch. We thank you for the testimony of all those who have given their testimony today and who will be baptized shortly. Lord, we thank you for the work of God that you do in each of our hearts. And Father, for the seeking that you do as you seek us, lost sheep who have gone astray. Father, as we just look at this testimony, just pray that your Spirit would speak to hearts, those who have not yet come to you and those who have been following you for some time, Lord. I just pray that you would encourage us through the preaching of your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody has a starting point. If you're a follower of Christ and you've been following for 50 years, or you're a follower of Christ and you've been following him for 2 weeks, or you haven't met Christ and you don't have a quote-unquote testimony yet, everybody has a starting point. For the Ethiopian, he was a eunuch. He was a part of Candace's court. She was the queen mother of Ethiopia, and he was the treasurer. He was an official, but he was also a very moral, religious man. He had gone to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. That was about the region between the Nile and the Sudan. And he had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. So he was a Jew. He was a converted Jew. And he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, as he was returning from Jerusalem, he was reading the scroll of Isaiah. And I want you to notice, I want all of us to notice, particularly his background, his journey, and everything that happened. God is always in the details. God is always in the details. He brought a man named Philip. Philip was preaching in Samaria, very successful outreach. The Samaritans were coming to Christ in droves, and the church was expanding, and people were coming to Christ, and he was preaching there, and he had a successful ministry, and the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, said to Philip, I want you to go south along the desert road that goes to Gaza. So God takes Philip away from a very successful ministry, and he says, go south. You know the deserted road where no one goes, that's in the middle of the desert? Go there. And he goes there. He follows in obedience to the Lord. And just as it were, by coincidence, somebody happens to be there sitting in a chariot reading Isaiah 53. There's no coincidences. There's absolutely no coincidence. The stories that you heard, each of them are unique in their own way. And everything that has happened in the individual of those lives, the testimonies that you heard, God has ordained beforehand that those events should happen so that they would come to a place where they meet Christ. You say, well, what about the bad things? Yes, the bad things. Some of the testimonies that you heard, some of the events that these people shared were very painful. By the way, a eunuch, I'm not going to go into the description, very painful. Not a choice many men would make, if any men. But that's one of the reasons that drew him to God. He can't enter the temple as someone who is defiled because of his deformity. And as he's reading Isaiah, in Isaiah 56, it says there will come a day when even the eunuchs can worship before God and enter the temple. So even the painful circumstances that you heard about eating disorders, you heard about infidelity, you heard about self-righteousness, you heard about lots of different stories, and your stories are the same. They're similar. All of us have painful incidents, and God uses those things to awaken us, to show us our need of him and his graciousness. And the good things in our lives, the friends that we have, God brings along people into our lives. You heard of Lisa DeLong share that as she was struggling, God brought a man into her life, and this man happened to introduce her to Christ. For me, I was a young college student, pursuing my own self-will, my own gratification, my own glory, and just living a hedonistic lifestyle. And in the pursuit of this hedonism, I met a young woman, and she introduced me to Christ. She brought me to church. How many of the testimonies have you heard today where someone brought someone to this church? And in doing so, they came face to face with the gospel. God is in the details. God is using all circumstances, good and bad, to prepare these individuals who are going to be baptized, the Ethiopian, and you yourself, to come face to face with Jesus. Well, there's a fork in the road along this journey. He goes south to the road to Gaza, and he meets the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian is there, and he is reading in the chariot. He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit says to Philip, run up alongside that chariot. So Philip runs up alongside the chariot, and he hears the Ethiopian reading aloud. Now, back in though, that would seem odd in our day, because when we read, we don't read out loud, generally. And the people that do read out loud, we think, that guy's weird, or she's weird. In that day, people that read, they only read out loud. Nobody read to themselves. So as he runs up alongside, he's listening, and he can hear that he's reading Isaiah, and he says, hey, what are you reading? I'm reading from Isaiah. Do you understand it? No, absolutely not. How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? So he invites him up, and he sits side by side with him, and he asks if he understands, and he says, no, I don't. And here's the question. This is crucial. The question that the Ethiopian says, he says, who is the prophet speaking of? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And here's what Luke records in the book of Acts chapter 8. He says this, starting with this passage, that is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Starting with this passage, he shared the good news concerning Jesus. He shared the good news concerning Jesus. Did you notice a pattern in the testimonies that you heard? Here's the pattern that's just so common. I always knew of Jesus, I just didn't know him personally. I always knew and went to church, I just didn't understand the implications of what Jesus had done. This guy was a worshiper. He's just returning from the temple, and he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And that is so common. So many people come to church their whole lives and they know of Jesus, they assent to the truth of the gospel, but the penny hasn't dropped, so to speak. The journey hasn't been made from their head to their heart. They haven't got the pieces together. It hasn't clicked yet. It just has not clicked. And for this guy, it's like, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? And so Philip takes that scroll and he starts with Isaiah 53 and he explains that the Bible, the whole Bible, Genesis through Malachi in the Old Testament, the New Testament hadn't been comprised yet, all of it speaks to Jesus. Isaiah 53 is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You say, what about morality? What about it? What about it? Nobody is righteous before God, Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 63. We all are like sheep who have gone astray, each of us to our own way. Right there, Isaiah 53, the same passage. Every single one of us. The moral housewife that you heard give the testimony. To the immoral person who is pursuing his own glory. All of those people, all of us, have strayed and fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53. As he's breaking this down, no doubt he took the scroll and he said here's some specific parts as he's explaining what happened. And he said this, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned to our own way, every one of us. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And as Philip's explaining that, he says, listen, just because you're a worshiper, that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. All of the people you heard give testimonies, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And Philip's explained to him, that's understandable. None of us have... the law doesn't make you holy. You know the Ten Commandments, right? He says to the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian says, of course I know the Ten Commandments. Do you keep them? Well, I try. That's not the question. Do you keep them? Well, I try. That's not the question. The question is, do you keep them? Because the law says, man who lives by these things shall keep them. Whoever does these things shall live by them. And if you don't keep these things, the wages of sin is death. And Isaiah was very clear about that. All of us have transgressed. And so the Ethiopian is sitting there and says, well, of course I haven't kept the law. I try to keep the law, but I failed. And every one of the testimonies that you hear, even those who, Rick, when he got up and he came, and you remember Rick, the last testimony from the front, talked about how he was a good kid, but he was self-righteous. Even our acts of righteousness, when not done for the right reason, are sinful. Everything separates us from God. And he says to him, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of soul. The Lord has laid upon Christ our sin. That's what the word iniquity means. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, like a sheep that's before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for this generation he was considered cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. That's the very verse that he heard him read, and he explained it to him. And then in verse 10, this is the key verse. He says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, and he has put him to grief. And when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. And then Philip goes on to explain. He says, that passage, Isaiah 53, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that talked about Jesus. A couple months back, maybe you heard about all the hubbub. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. When he entered into Jerusalem, everyone praised him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. And they praised him. And then a week later, they nailed him to a cross. Isaiah 53, chapter 10, the suffering servant that he's talking about, that's Jesus. That was the Lord's will to afflict him. This is part of God's plan. You're not righteous, Ethiopian. The people that you heard the testimonies give, they're not righteous either. We're unrighteous, all of us. And the Lord has made it his will to lay upon his own son all of our iniquity, all of our sin. And he has taken our sin to the cross. And he explains this to the Ethiopian. I'm explaining it to you. The individuals that you heard give their testimony, someone explained it to them, just as Philip is sitting in that chariot. And what he wanted this Ethiopian to understand was that Jesus Christ is the substitution for your sin. He is your sin offering. If you have not yet received Christ, receive him today. And that offer and that invitation was given to the Ethiopian. And it's not just that he died for sin. He was crucified and he was buried. And it's more than that. Because it says in Isaiah 53 that he goes on to see his offspring. Let me ask you a question. If you're dead, how do you see your offspring? You don't. Isaiah 53, hundreds of years before Christ was crucified, predicted that not only would he die for sin, but he would raise again to conquer death. Jesus Christ has risen. Jesus Christ has conquered death. Jesus Christ has conquered sin, and he conquered it for the Ethiopian, he conquered it for these people that are being baptized, and he conquered it for those of you who have yet to receive Christ. He is a Savior because he is a living Savior. Someone who is not living is only a martyr, and martyrs cannot save. Jesus Christ was no martyr. The cross was his design. It's his reason for being. It's his reason for coming to be man and to dwelling among us. That's the reason Jesus came. And the Ethiopian received that message with gladness. And there was a point of decision. Every journey has a starting point. Every journey has a fork in the road where we come to understand the gospel as the Ethiopian did. And every journey has a fork in the road where a decision must be made. And for the Ethiopian, he said, hey, there's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? The Ethiopian recognized, he made the connection, the Holy Spirit made it for him. I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ is a Savior. I need him. He offers himself. I receive Christ. Now, there's some water. Is there any reason I shouldn't be baptized to proclaim my union with Christ to the entourage that's come with me? The Ethiopian is not traveling alone. These individuals were required to give their testimony, not alone, but in front of a large crowd. Now, sometimes people say, can I just get baptized just in front of my family and just by myself? The answer is no, you cannot. Because this is a celebration. This is a celebration. This is a wedding. Ethiopian wants everyone to see, the whole entourage, the officials that have come with him, I want them to see that I am trusting Christ and I am following him and that he is my Savior. And so they baptize him. And today, these individuals have given their testimony and say, hey, there's some water. Is there any reason why I shouldn't be baptized? And the answer to that question is no. They've made a profession of faith. They've come to Christ. They've trusted him and him alone for their Savior. You see, faith is more than an intellectual assent. Do you remember Travis's testimony? The guy with the shades? Okay, he was able to articulate what the gospel was, but it didn't click for him. It's just something that he assented to a doctrinal statement. He assented to a series of beliefs, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So there is a component of knowledge. We do have to know what it is we believe, but he hadn't trusted yet. He hadn't entered into that yet, and so he entered into that. And some of you are probably in that same place right now. You see, along this journey, faith has to begin with a decision that says, I know what Jesus did on the cross. I know that he was buried, and I know that on the third day he rose again, but I choose to place my faith in him for my salvation and for my righteousness. I'm not going to achieve my own righteousness. I'm going to receive his righteousness. Faith is the act of putting your trust in Jesus Christ. It is a decision. And we would encourage you to make that decision today. The question, as we go forward and we watch these baptisms and we celebrate, and we should celebrate, those people have made this decision. And they have entered into a relationship with Christ. And their baptism is to tell you about that. Their baptism doesn't save them. It doesn't wash them from their sins. It's just an act of obedience and a proclamation to all those who are going to watch that says, I love Jesus and I know that he died for my sin and I'm receiving him as Savior. And I choose to give my life to him because he's given his life for me. That's what baptism is. Now, some of you have yet to be baptized. Some of you have yet to receive Christ as your Savior. There's the starting point. To make the decision to follow Christ today. After the baptisms, if you have not received Christ, you can look for people with these, and there's other different name tags and so forth, the lanyards. Look for someone that'd be happy to explain to you what that means. If you're new to grace, get plugged in, understand, If you've come with someone, I'm going to challenge those of you who are Phillips, you are already believers. If someone is struggling and they want to know more and they're open enough to share, you be Philip and hop up into the chariot with them and explain. We're all called to be that. Question is, what will you decide? Whether you've been following Jesus for a long, long time, be decisive enough to be a Philip and follow him, hard after him, obedience to him, helping others know the gospel. If you're like the Ethiopian, you're a religious person and you're just learning about Jesus, or you're an irreligious person and you're a hedonist and you're just learning about Jesus. He covers a multitude of sins. He died that he might make you his. So receive him today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm going to give us some instructions afterwards. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. We thank you that he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. We thank you for the gift of faith that comes by grace. And Lord, we pray right now that if there is someone here who has not yet received you and they have not yet begun this journey and you put it on their heart, I pray, Father, that they would you give them the courage, just as the Ethiopian did, to go forward in their faith, or to find out more about it, to ask the question of the friends that they came with. Lord, or ask them to simply explain to them, who is the Scriptures talking about, like the Ethiopian did? Give them the courage to ask so that the Phillips in this audience can come alongside them and encourage them in their journey of faith. And Lord, for those who know that they need to make a decision, I just pray that they would pray along with me right now. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, and you have sent your Son, and I thank you that he has died on the cross for me. Come into my heart, save me of my sins, and Lord, take me to heaven, and not only that, but make me your son, your daughter. Mold me into your image that I might be more like you. We praise you and we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. It's in his name we pray. Amen.